Y'all number one.
You need to just, you know.
We're in Thomas's office today at the church recording, and which I don't know if we've ever done that before, but
I think so.
This is also, Thomas's office is also where our community group meets on Sunday mornings. And yesterday morning with all the people in here, it was roughly the temperature of the surface of the sun.
That's what I the older I get, the more I realize my body temperature runs pretty cold.
Yeah.
Like I think I've read that everybody starts off the day, their temperature is colder than like normal 98.6.
Okay.
But in my previous job during COVID, we'd have to like take our temperature every morning when we walked into work. And I was always like 96.7.
Oh, wow.
Always. But like, I don't know if that means anything. Everybody's chillier in the morning. But the first thing I do when I get here in the morning is turn the heat on and shut that door. And then like by now, if I walk out of this room and come back in, you can tell. And I love it. I still have a sweatshirt on it. And I feel great. Like,
You're going to be that granddad that, like, when the kids go over to your house, they're like, oh, crap, we got to dress for the beach. It's going to be 89 degrees in Granddaddy Tom's place.
I don't know because, I don't know what the deal is. I'm not a very sweaty person.
No.
I've gotten lucky with that, I think.
You really don't sweat.
Like, we'll work out and I won't sweat. And it's probably because I just don't push myself hard enough. That's probably what it is.
you just turned that into a shame thing so fast.
It is, though. It is.
You know what gets turned into a shame thing for me right now faster than anything else?
What?
That stupid freaking game we're all playing on the internet.
Wordle?
Yes. Like, you just dropped a text message into a thread that I'm in where you had solved the puzzle. Mm. And I haven't solved it today yet. And I'm really, really stuck. And so immediately I was like, great. I have the vocabulary of, like, you know, a Cheez-It.
Of a Cheez-It?
Yeah.
That's the word today, by the way.
Oh, okay.
Cheez-It.
Thanks for letting me know. I'll go ahead and solve it.
It's fun. It's a fun game.
It's fun when you get it.
Yeah. The thing I like about it is I do it and then I forget about it until I do it again.
Yeah.
Like, if I, any other, I've never been big on, it's been a while since I've been, like, in on an iPhone game, you know?
Right. Yeah.
Like a long time. So this one's good because I'm in, but I can only do it one time a day.
Yeah.
And it takes 5 minutes.
Well, that's the nice thing. I think if they opened her up and you got to do more than one word, I think the English speaking world would grind to a halt for like 3 weeks.
Yeah. It would run its course and then they'd be on to the next thing.
Yeah. Basically, if you're listening to this and you're like, what are they talking about? There's a website that Tyler Roberts turned us on to called Wordle, which is spelled W-O-R-D-L-E. And it's just a game where you try to guess a five-letter word, and you get 6 tries at that. And then as you eliminate letters that are not in the word that you tried to use, they get blanked out on your keyboard. So you'll know not to use them. It's just one of those deals where, like, when you get the final word, you're like, oh, it's this word. But, like, before that, you're like, what could it possibly be? You just can't think of any words. Right. Even when you're just going through the keyboard trying words.
Yeah.
And it's like, I just can't think. What's your go-to starter word? Like, you're like, I'm going to start every puzzle with this word.
I do a different one every time.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. I probably need to adjust that. Like, I probably need to think of a word with a ton of vowels.
That's the thing. I'm trying to think of one with, like, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah, but it's one of those deals where when somebody, like, because my daughter Nora keeps solving it using way less tries than it takes me. I told her about it, and then the past couple of days, she, like, shows me a thing. She's like, look, I got it in 3 tries, Daddy. And I'm like, it took me 6 tries.
Yeah, yesterday she asked me, she said, did you get in 3 tries again today? And I said, no, I got it in 4. She said, oh, I got it in 3. Like, how did you know I got it in 3? But also, you just, like, subtly jabbed me.
Oh, yeah, not so subtle flex from Norbear there. She's going to hit you with the, I got it in 3 tries.
Well, we used to play The Creeps. Remember that?
Yes, when you were in Sunday school.
That was a great game.
Yeah, and you and I were the only people that I knew that played this app.
Oh, it was so good. It was so fun.
Yeah, but it was like,
I wonder if it still exists. Surely it does.
The Creeps?
Yeah.
Yeah, we ought to have a little little 2 week.
It was a tower defense game where it was like a kid in a bed and then his closet, and there was a path and monsters would come out, and you would use like things you would find in a kid's room would be certain weapons.
That was great.
It was so fun.
Plants vs. Zombies, that had its heyday. I didn't play that one. Field Runners.
Didn't play that one.
That was me and Michael Singleton. I remember Field Runners.
Yeah. Y'all played Clash of Clans.
Yeah. Sam Bingham, I think, came up with a thing in Field Runners that made the game infinite. Like, it was just like, it just became a loop at that point. Oh, yeah. We definitely had Clash of Clans going for a while.
Yeah. Sam still plays Pokemon Go, as far as I know.
I think Tyreek still plays Clash of Clans.
Yeah, I think he does.
I'll be like, Reek, how's your clan going? He's like, it's not like that, bro.
What is it then, Tariq?
Yeah, what is it then? You're playing it right now. I can see. That's so fun.
How is it I'm more tired and it's 12 o'clock versus when we do this at like sunrise?
I think that, well, for one thing, you just had a baby. Your wife just had a baby.
Yeah. Good point.
And so that's just going to be, you're going to be like on a... You're going to be like base level yawn boy for a while until that you're going to have this one glorious night. And I don't know when it's going to be when you and Maddie will both wake up and you'll be like, what time is it? And like, and you'll be like wondering, like, did something happen?
Yeah.
And then you're going to rush into his room or whatever. And then he's going to still be asleep and everything will be fine. And you'll be like, you'll high five each other and you'll be like, we did it. We slept through the night.
One day.
It'll happen.
Yeah.
It's a glorious day.
Last night, so Maddie and I, like, we have our time slots where we get up because he wakes up twice. The second one is usually when I get up anyway.
Right.
You know, so this morning it was like 5 and I wanted
45 more minutes.
Yeah. So I did. I like went back to sleep before. And I would have been way better off if I just stayed up. That was where I went wrong today.
Yeah.
But last night during his first wake window, I woke up for some reason because somehow in the middle of that, our dog had gotten in the bed with us.
Yeah.
And she got where my feet go.
Oh.
And I was just, I barely remember any of it. I just remember Maddie saying, she just wanted to sleep with us. And I was so
angry at the dog.
Oh, gosh.
Because
Maddie she's so funny about things like that. Like the way she'll say that. She'll say, she's just a dog, Thomas. He's just a baby. He doesn't know.
I'm just imagining you all curled up like a pretzel in your own bed because your dog is in there.
Yeah, and she just is like, this whole thing's my spot. And I'm like, Dobby, move. And she just like looked at me. I was like, Dobby, move, move, move.
Welcome to Ancient and New. This is a brand new year. Same format. We're going to talk about some scriptures that are encouraging us or challenging us or that we're just thinking about a lot this week. So you got something you want to direct us to?
Yeah, yeah.
Let's go there.
Psalm 2.
That's what I'm talking about. I love Psalm 2.
Come out the gate swinging. It's not there, not 37.
Got it. Okay.
2. We're going to be in 2.
Psalm 2. I got it.
Okay, 2.
I'm there.
It's the one after 1.
Wow.
I feel like I just quoted somebody we know.
Cheeky yawn boy.
Yeah. I've been in, to start the year, I've read through 1st and 2nd Peter and recently started. I've always loved reading like a psalm a day and I haven't done it in a while. So I was like, yeah, that was as good as time as any.
Time to kick it up.
Yeah, I'll make it half my year of reading a psalm a day. We'll do that. And there's a thing in this I really liked. So here we go. I'm just going to start in verse 1. Why do the nations conspire and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their chains and throw off their shackles. The one enthroned in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. He rebukes them in his anger and terrifies them in his wrath, saying, I have installed my king on Zion, my holy mountain. I'll keep reading. I will proclaim the Lord's decree. He said to me, you are my son. Today I have become your father. Ask me and I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession. You will break them with a rod of iron. You will dash them to pieces like pottery. I think the thing I liked about this, which first of all, it feels a little bit prophetic.
Oh, it is. This is the messianic ruler of the universe.
Yeah, it's cool. And I read that this morning, just come, you know, off the heels of Christmas. I was like, is my heart too attuned to those things because we just came out of the Advent season, or is that true? No, yeah. But
like in verse 2, sorry to cut you off.
No, you're good.
When it says, the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed.
Yeah.
That word right there, that's the Mashiach, the Messiah.
Okay, so the thing I loved about it, though, it's like, okay, all these things are true. All these things are happening. They're going to happen. So there was like, and, you know, like, and the people's plot in vain. I'm like, yeah, that is a thing. Like, we all have our ideas and plans and, like, everything lined out forever and always. And it's just, you know, there's things that are being said in this that are true and evident, and you can look around in your everyday life and see them. And then there's the moment where it says, the one enthroned in heaven laughs. Because he's, I mean, like, I just imagine that in a way, just the Lord being like, man, they don't even know. Like, I have everything lined up. I know everything that's going to happen. I'm in control of the whole thing. And everyone around there is just saying, like, you know, everyone's just trying to do their own thing and do it their own way. And they have the whole thing lined up and they have it all planned out in their own way. And I just imagine the Lord being like,
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, like, and maybe I'm wrong about that, but I don't know. Like, and then he followed it up by saying, I have installed my king on Zion, my holy mountain. Like, there's a lot of things that are true in this. And I love that being the one that we, you know, like, that's the best truth in the whole thing. Like, it's true. You look around us, nations conspire and people plot in vain. That's happening everywhere. The kings of the earth will rise up and the rulers band together. That's happening everywhere. Like, people who are in charge want to be in charge. They want to be the people who are running the show. They will do anything to make that the case.
Yeah.
And then just the idea that the Lord is like, I'm in charge of the whole thing. My king, my anointed is enthroned on Zion.
Yeah.
He's in charge. Where, you know, I've got my hand over all this. I know exactly where this is going to go. I know exactly how this is going to work. Y'all can plan all you want. Your things.
Exactly.
It's fine. But, you know, I'm in control. I know what's going on. I know how this is going to work. Do what you want. Think how you want to about it. But at the end of the day, I'm in charge of this whole thing. I don't know. It was cool to think about this morning. I kind of chuckled thinking about that.
Well, yeah, the chuckle piece is so fun because, like, we are in a, like, we're globally, like, in a time of extreme nationalistic fervor. Like, a lot of people all over the world are like shouting about how amazing their country is.
Mm.
It's everywhere. It's not just this country. I mean, it is in this country big time, but, like,
there's
a lot of nationalism everywhere. And that that God's response to that is, sure, guys. Yeah. Like, there was a couple months ago, I asked our buddy Mark to, if I could have some firewood. He has, like, limitless firewood. And so,
I just love the idea of Mark being the firewood plug.
Yeah.
Just, I pictured just like a lineup of superheroes, and then there's Firewood Guy.
Firewood Guy.
Featuring Pat Sajak as Firewood Guy.
Oh my gosh. Thomas has this thing where he thinks that our buddy Mark, who's the keyboard player in our band at church, looks like Pat Sajak.
Yeah.
Like a much younger, handsomer.
Ryan Seacrest, too.
Yeah,
it's kind like of a hybrid there.
Yeah, hybrid morph between Pat Sajak and Ryan Seacrest. But, like, I asked Mark for some firewood. He has limitless firewood. He brings over a trailer full of firewood. We're carrying it over to the, like, the pile where I put all that stuff. And all of a sudden I saw this, like mound, this, like, dirt mound that's never been in my yard before. And I was like, Mark, come look at this. What do you think this is? Do you think this is ants? And he goes, yeah. And then he just started stomping on it. And he just crushed it.
Yeah.
Like, he just crushed it, took a piece of wood and just, like, spread it out all over the place, dug it out a little bit. And he was like, that's over. And then he just got in his truck and, like, drove off. And there's, like, this, there's just this thing of, like, people with their nationalistic fervor and all the injustice that it causes and all that kind of stuff. And the Lord is like, yeah, no, I'm not going to let any of this go past the threshold of where I'm going to let it go. Mm. And then I have installed the king, the Messiah, And then he is going to, I'm going to give, he's actually going to inherit all the nations is what the, one of the verses that you read said, that I will make the nations your inheritance. So Jesus, the Messiah, the King, is going to inherit all the nations. And then what is he going to do with his inheritance? He's going to smash them with a rod of iron and dash them to pieces like pottery. Yeah. All that's going away. All that country first, our country is the greatest country in the world. All that stuff's going away. And it's just like, he knows how it's going to go. He right. knows what's going to happen. He's in complete and total control of it. And sometimes when you like, I think it's easy sometimes to think about like just a really zoomed in picture of who Jesus is, which is awesome. Like the intimate, sweet, caring, like walks with me through the moments of my week and through my, knows how many hairs are on my head and that kind of thing. But then like when you zoom out and you're like, oh, this is the King of the universe who like laughs at people's plans and will dash all of the nations.
Right. Yeah. So there's another thing in this where there's coming a day where we're all going to feel that way. Like when we get to heaven, I think we're going to look back at a lot of things that we felt that way about on earth. Like I almost said the word conspirations, but I don't think that's a word. All of our conspirings.
Was that today's Wordle?
Yes. All six letters or five letters of it. That and like the plotting that we have, all the ideas and the dreams and the plans and how we see everything, that all of our expectations, all that stuff. There's going to come a day where we're, I mean, when we're with the Lord, where it's just going to be like, ugh. There are things that I put a lot of stock in that I shouldn't have, you know, and that's sure. not me saying like, give up all your hopes and dreams and move on from them. But I do think there's going to be things that we realize we thought about in vain and spent a lot of time on and a lot of effort and a lot of energy.
For sure.
But also I'm saying that as if that has to happen when we're dead and in heaven, when it could start happening now in our daily life. Like there could be a thing in us that is, and I think it's true for everybody who's walking with Jesus, where like the more you walk with him, the more you realize that stuff. Like, oh, I'm putting too much stock in this. What do I really control on this earth? Like, what am I trying to control on my own that the Lord is actually in control of? And what if I just got there quicker instead of having to wait until I die to realize that?
Crown the King now.
Yeah. And, I mean, we're on a fine line here of talking about like, you know, things that I don't know. Like, I'm not saying like wake up every day and just sit until whatever happens. But like, there's definitely things we put way too much stock in that it's time for us to move on. And I like what you said, like crown the King now. What if we got there now instead of having to wait until this is all said and done? Anyways.
Yeah. Hey, let's look at Mark chapter 2 since we did Psalm chapter 2.
Okay.
Mark the
herald. Oh, my word.
What?
Oh, gosh. That's the hold music for our podcast while you're waiting to be seated. Here we go. This is... We're going to start in verse 18.
Okay. But
this is right after Jesus calls Levi, also known as Matthew, who was a tax collector, and he became one of Jesus' followers. And then he like invited all of his friends, who were like all the sinners that everybody knew, to have a giant party with Jesus at his house. So Levi has just become a follower of Jesus and has invited all of his friends to have a big party. And then the religious leaders were really upset with Jesus about that. Hmm. Verse 18 says, now John's disciples, and that's John the Baptist, not John the apostle who wrote the Gospel of John.
Thank you.
Now John's disciples and the Pharisees were fasting. Some people came and asked Jesus, how is it that John's disciples and the disciples of the Pharisees are fasting, but yours are not? Little quick background. Back in the day, people would make a show of fasting. It's like, okay, I'm going to go through, I'm going to do a fast this week, and it's going to be, I'm going to basically declare, it's like an outward show of my devotion to God. so I'm not going to eat anything. And they would like, they would play it up. Like they would put on really ratty clothes and they wouldn't wash their hair. And that like, they would make themselves look bad because like, I'm suffering for the Lord and I want everybody to know it kind of deal. So how is it that John's disciples and the disciples of the Pharisees?
Just laughing about the idea of like, I'm suffering because I'm wearing older clothes than normal.
Yeah.
Like, dang, I got to wear, all my clothes are dirty, so I have to wear this shirt today.
Like, I've known some Young Life guys that might have been fasting. Like, some of the guys I've taken to camp, like, they might have been, like, old school fasting.
Yeah, like, there's a pair of pants that Jude puked on last night. Yeah. I'm not going to wash them. Like, it's fine. I'll wash them when it's time. They're just going to be worn around the house. They're going to get puked on again. When I can smell them, I'll wash them.
You're like the disciples of the Pharisees in your own house.
I'm clearly suffering because I'm...
Yeah.
Yeah.
How is it that John's disciples and the disciples of the Pharisees are fasting, but yours are not? They're saying this to Jesus. Jesus answered, "How can the guests of the bridegroom fast while he is with them? They cannot, so long as they have him with them. But the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them, and on that day they will fast. No one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. Otherwise, the new piece will pull away from the old, making the tear worse. And no one pours new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the wine will burst the skins, and both the wine and the wineskins will be ruined." No, they pour new wine into new wineskins. Okay, there's a lot happening here. You know, one of the things that's happening is Jesus is like, look, if you always operate in the old ways of thinking, then none of the good stuff that I'm bringing into your world is going to make sense. It's going to blow your brain up. Like if you're stuck in the convention of like, this day of the year, we suffer in these ways. And this day of the year, we do this ceremony in these ways. And it has to be this way. It has to be that thing. And always the exact same way. Then some of the stuff I'm going to tell you, it's just not going to fit into that. It's going to blow up your brain. You're not going to get it, and you're going to judge people who do get it. So you got to think differently. You have to change the way that you think. And so that's one of the things that's going on here. But another is like, just this thing of people are like, look, having a relationship with God, there's a whole lot of like treating yourself harshly that goes into it. Like we treat ourselves harshly so that we can show everybody how devoted we are to God. That's how devoted I am to God. I will go through something really, really hard on purpose because that's what the love of God is like.
Right.
You know?
Right. It's like those old Listerine commercials that it was like, it doesn't work if it's not burning.
The what commercial?
There's a Listerine commercial that came out like 10 years ago where they finally like got rid of all the alcohol in it.
Okay.
And it was like, it doesn't work if it's not burning. And the kid's like, it does work. My breath smells good. Anyways, that was a dumb 90.
No, it was a really good example. I mean, like I'm not in a relationship with God if I'm not, you know, killing myself over this thing,
right.
You know? And Jesus just looks at them and they're like, hey man, it's not supposed to be that. It's not supposed to be like, you know, two a day's football practice in August. For those of you who didn't play football in the 90s, they don't do it anymore. But like we used to have in the summer, in the heat of the summer in the southern United States where it's humidity and heat, we used to have like 2 4-hour football practices a day in the summer. And it was just like, it was so gross. Like you would go back for the afternoon practice and you would put on your football pants and they would still be wet with sweat from the morning practice. So gross. But it's like, he's saying, look, having a relationship with me is not two-a-days football practice. It's a wedding reception. That's what this is. It's supposed to be fun. It's not supposed to be a fast. It's supposed to be a feast. And he's like, you got to change the way that you think. Otherwise, you're going to see people in a real relationship with me, and you're not going to get it. It's going to blow your brain up. You're just going to judge them. But like a relationship with me is supposed to be a party. Like, you know, I mean, you know, we've talked about this before, but you and I have gone to like a lot of wedding receptions together, and just like the dancing and the food and the wine, all of it, it's just so much fun. Like I remember like at Joe and Kristen's wedding reception, just getting to do like a, you know, like a square dance in the middle of the reception, and just how much fun that was.
Right.
And Jesus is like, that's what knowing me is like. It's like that. Now, these guys, he says, they're going to have a day where the bridegroom, he's talking about himself, is taken from them. On that day, they will be sad. It will be. But that's not the extent of our relationship. Our relationship is not a thing to be sad over. Mm-hmm. Our relationship is something to have fun with. And I thought of that, like a really cool thing is, like, now that Jesus, he was taken away from them. He was forcefully arrested and taken away, violently taken away from them, and he was killed. But then he rose from the dead. Because of that, like, none of us who've ever come to know Jesus will ever have Jesus taken from us. Mm. Okay. In other words, like, it's supposed to be a wedding party the whole time.
Right.
Like, when you think about wedding receptions, what is something immediately that you're like, this is what I love about being at a wedding reception?
This is funny because mine's a little dated just because we haven't done the typical wedding reception in like 2 years, basically.
Yeah, because of COVID. COVID, yeah.
But there's anytime the song Happy by Pharrell comes on,
okay,
Jeff Mason and I lock eyes and we have a dance that we do that we made up at some wedding 7 years ago. But we just know, like, we're going to do this.
This is going to happen.
There's a moment where, like, one of us lassos the other and we, like, wow. I mean, I don't know how to explain it. We just know how it works. That's one of my favorite things. But honestly, like,
it's so cool.
There's a culture in my age of people that is like, you dance hard at weddings.
Yeah.
And I love it.
Yeah. But, I mean, I grew up a Baptist and nobody ever did that.
No.
And,
no.
There was no dancing at weddings. Mm. And there was also no wine, which is just, these are just, that's just a really unbiblical wedding reception.
It's so unbiblical.
no wine, no dancing. Thomas just threw up his hands in disgust. Oh, I wish you could have seen the look
scoffed.
On his face.
The Lord scoffed.
Oh, gosh.
Okay, so you're about to make your point.
Nope, please carry on.
Well, okay, there's a whole thing. A lot of times, and we're talking about it right here, but a lot of things Jesus preaches at the Pharisees is just think differently, y'all. John, repent. Repent. Think differently. Turn away from what you're thinking about this. Just open your mind a little bit.
Yeah.
And one thing I would push us to do the same thing. Like, I would say my theology is pretty sound about who the Messiah is and who Jesus is. But I do think there are things in my life where, like, I need to be willing to think differently. Like, and this is going to sound really stupid, but, like, what if I think culturally speaking, we get set in our ways with how we approach our relationship with Jesus. Like, if I didn't have a cup of coffee and like, by the way, I'm preaching to the choir. I'm as routine as it gets. Like, your boy does the stuff in the same way. But I do think, like, it's important for us to think, like, the things that we do culturally within our walk with the Lord, can we, like, the things that we tie our, I'm trying to figure out how to specifically say this, but the things that we anchor our boat to, do we have scripture for them? I'm not saying, like, hey, the whole coffee and quiet time thing is not scripture. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying, like, there are things that we would go down dying for that I think it's worth saying, like, is this the thing? Like, the coffee and Bible was a bad example, but, like,
I know what you mean.
Within the church, within our communities, like, are we anchoring our ship to the right thing? Is there scripture for this? What are we? Because I like what you're saying about the party.
Well, yeah, because a real good metal detector for trying to figure out whether or not something belongs or is just a convention, a ritual, or a routine is, does this lead to more fun?
Right.
Does it lead to more joy?
Exactly. So, like, and the reason why I said the coffee thing is, like, for me specifically, because of the way my brain works, and the way I can get in, like, ruts and routines, I can feel shame if I didn't do my quiet time the same way I did it a week ago.
Yeah, yeah.
So I've made it a point in my life over the past year or so, like, a couple of days a week, my quiet time is going to be completely different than the other ones.
Yeah.
I'm either totally going to go for a walk, I'm not going to open a journal, whatever the thing is. Like, I'm going to do something differently. I'm going to read, and I'm just going to walk for 15 minutes and talk to the Lord about what I read. Or I'm going to read and sit quietly, or whatever the thing is. Those are poor examples, but, like, I like what you're saying. Does it bring me more joy, or, like, does it bring me shame? why? That's not right.
Yeah.
That's not scriptural.
Yeah. Dread, shame, a sense of failure, all those things. We're,
or a sense of I'm better than everyone.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, yeah, that's right. That's one too. Like, I'm going to read this and post myself on Instagram at this coffee shop, so that way everybody knows that I'm having my quiet time here and at this time.
Or I'm just going to think that I'm better than so.
Yes, it didn't even have to be the social media piece of it. Right.
Yeah, and so all these things, like the game Hot and Cold, it's like I'm getting farther away the more dread, shame, pride, or
entitlement.
Yeah, but it's getting hotter and closer to the good news when I have more freedom, a lighter heart, I'm more carefree, and I'm having more fun. That this is just that our Savior is a bridegroom at his wedding. He's having a ball and he wants to party. And that's the thing that I'm going for. And it's the thing I'm looking for. And he was going to be taken away from the disciples. He will never be taken away from us.
It's cool.
It's supposed to be a party the whole time.
Yeah.
So that's where I want to lean.
I like that. Thanks for tying a bow on that. My words don't feel.
No, your words like are great. Together. I think my only problem is I need the part of the wedding reception that's like the nap time. So I feel like I'm
retweet, brother.
I feel like I'm going to fall asleep. I don't even have a baby. I don't even have a reason,
man. I love my child.
The sweet little nugget.
He's a cute dude. And he likes to sleep. And I'm so grateful for that. It doesn't make you less tired.
No.
Like, I still have a baby.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I'm sleep right now is, you get 3-hour naps.
Right.
But at nighttime. You know, it's like, I'm going to sleep for 3 hours and I'm going to be awake for 30 minutes. I'm going to sleep for 3 hours and I'm going to be awake for 30 minutes.
Right. That's it.
If he goes back to sleep.
Yeah.
Or I'm going to pace the floor. The other night, it was pitch black. I realized my son threw up because I felt it on my feet. And then thanks I had to feel around guys. With my feet to find where it was.
Okay. For those of you, we're keeping it real in the pod today. Oh,
I'm gosh. Tired. This is like a PG rated one instead of G, you know? Like, don't let your children listen to this one.
Oh. Oh, man. That was so fun. Hey, I'm Lee.
I'm Thomas.
I thought you were going to say tired.
I was going to say I'm like technically here right now.
And this has been Ancient and New.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence.
One, two, three.
till now.